Welcome to Sightseeing Japan, the podcast where we explore the land of pungent delicacies. I'm Paul Bresson.
And I'm Jason Kneeling. Paul, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
What would you say is the grossest food you've ever eaten?
Two immediately come to mind. Anchovies and lutefisk.
I've heard a lot about lutefisk. Is that Swedish? Norwegian? Norwegian.
Well, one of the two. One of the two. It's pickled herring.
Right.
And, ooh, man, does it have a strong, unpleasant flavor.
I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of coming across lutefisk IRL.
Do yourself a favor and don't.
Okay, I don't plan to. Anchovies, I don't really mind anchovies, honestly. There was this dip I made one time with butter and garlic and anchovies, and it was pretty good. And Caesar dressing, that has anchovies. I love Caesar dressing.
I used to love Caesar, too. But when I'm thinking anchovies, I'm thinking I had anchovies on a pizza. And it was just like a big blob of anchovy. And the flavor was so strong and gross that I was just like, oh, I couldn't eat another bite. But that flavor diluted in a sauce or a dressing or something maybe would actually be good.
I can imagine the pizza being less than great because, yeah, it's just so salty and so concentrated in one spot, right?
Yep.
It's funny, thinking back to our childhoods, for some reason, I feel like I heard mentions of anchovy pizza all the time. Like, I remember as a kid thinking, I want to order anchovy pizza. I've heard so much about it. I'm curious to see what it's like. It
must have been a 90s thing.
Yeah.
I don't even think I see that around much anymore.
No, I don't hear anybody talking about it. Maybe it was in a bunch of movies or TV shows, people joking about how gross anchovy pizza was or something.
I don't know if it still is, but it was a topping you could just go get at Domino's or any pizza place.
Hmm. I'll have to look for that. I don't see that on many menus these days.
So what's your grossest food, Jason?
Well, it depends on if we're talking about my opinion or general public opinion.
Let's start with your opinion.
Okay. I mean, there aren't many foods that I like really hate. Foods that I think will ruin a dish very quickly are pickles, like cucumber pickles, like American style hamburger pickles or whatever, and ketchup. I don't know what it is about those. I just can't do it. But thinking about things that I've eaten that other people would find gross, I got a long list.
Yeah.
Cow brains, chicken feet, all sorts of raw stuff, you know. Sushi, some people don't like the raw fish. I've had raw horse. I've had all sorts of like raw beef stuff. Like not even just rare beef, but like raw ground beef with a raw egg on top. That's like a Korean dish. I don't know. I don't know what's grossest to people. But I know near the top of the list of things that people generally find gross is something called natto. That I've become a fan of. I chose to acquire the taste for it, and now I enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So doing this research on natto has actually impacted my daily life, Jason.
How so?
I got into some poor eating habits this winter. Too much frozen food, too much junk food, and reading about all the health benefits of natto reminded me of miso. And reminded me just of Japanese cuisine overall.
Yeah, all that healthy fermented stuff, right?
Yeah. So for the last week, for one meal a day, I've been eating Japanese breakfast style meal.
That's great.
Bowl of rice, pickles, and miso soup.
Nice.
And I'm interested in possibly adding natto to this as a good protein probiotic source.
Wow, going all in.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, are you making your miso soup from scratch or tell me your method?
Yeah, I bought a tub of miso and I'm just making it myself.
What kind of dashi are you making?
I am not using any. I am putting in seaweed, but I'm not using dashi yet.
Well, so, I mean, dashi is essential to miso soup, Paul. But, you know, you can use kelp, kombu, to season your dashi.
Mm-hmm.
You can use
I just haven't been to an Asian market yet.
I feel like it's essential. I really do. Like, water and miso is not miso soup. It's missing an essential flavor in there. And when I forget to put the dashi powder or whatever, when I'm making meal soup. Like, I notice immediately, and I'm like, no, this is wrong.
Thanks for gatekeeping my meals for me, Jason.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a gatekeeper. I'm just trying to...
Jason pushes up his glasses. Well, actually, that's not real miso.
That's very fair, Paul. I'm trying to encourage you to, you know, make the best food.
I do plan to go to an Asian market soon and get some more ingredients to make it a little more authentic.
You're right, Paul. That wasn't cool of me. I apologize.
I'm all excited about my new diet. Jason's like,
you're doing it wrong. No, I think that's great. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I've been feeling good.
Nice. Yeah, I like to do that too. When I feel like I've been eating too much greasy food or whatever, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do like a Japanese week. There's going to be a lot of rice. There's going to be a lot of miso soup, a lot of tofu, maybe some pickles, a lot of seaweed.
Yeah, I've been putting a little silken tofu in my miso.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, that's why I got into natto. I mean, one is just, you know, because I'm a huge Japan nerd and I was curious about it because of its reputation, but it's also super healthy and super cheap. And I don't know, I thought it'd be good to eat this stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I also want to mention, like I did in the last episode, the Shogun TV series.
Yeah.
There's actually a scene in there where natto makes an appearance. There are these two Japanese women that are eating it, and then the main character, English dude, he comes up and asks about it, like, can I try that? And they're like, you wouldn't like it. This isn't for you.
Just being honest, though.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have liked it. But yeah, I think outside of Japan, and even inside Japan for some people, that's a big part of natto's identity, is that it's just known as being something real gross, you know?
Yeah, true.
I saw that in Japan, surveys have shown that around 70% of people think that natto has a pleasant flavor, and even more people than that eat it just for the health benefits. But there is a vocal minority in Japan of people that are just like, no, I'm not eating that. That's gross.
Yeah.
And outside of Japan, I would think that probably 90% of people or something don't like natto. It's kind of an unusual food. It looks weird. It smells weird. Some people might think that it's offensive to all five senses. You know?
Well, let's talk a little more about what exactly natto is then, right?
We should probably get to that part, yeah.
So it's a traditional Japanese food. It's made by fermenting whole soybeans.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention, we've talked about a bunch of other Japanese foods before that are also made from fermented soybeans, haven't we?
Yeah, miso.
Soy sauce. But natto is nothing like either of those things. It ends up very different because it's a different type of fermentation. So, Paul, as you mentioned, natto is made of whole soybeans usually, and the bacteria used to ferment it, it creates this sticky substance on the surface of the beans. So, I don't know. I was thinking like the easiest way to describe natto is slimy soybeans.
Yeah, and the slime's very stringy.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you stir up natto, it just all these strings appear. I really think it's the look of the stringiness combined with the smell much more than the taste that turns people off.
I think you're right. I know a lot of people, when they talk about foods they hate, a lot of it is a texture thing a lot of the time. And natto does have a very unusual texture. The sliminess and, yeah, the stringiness. And it's just like, this kind of thing isn't supposed to go in my mouth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I recommend Googling pictures of this just so you have an idea of what we're talking about here. Natto, N-A-T-T-O. I also wanted to mention, in Japanese, I think the pronunciation is like natto.
The double T sound.
You put the emphasis on the second syllable, and yeah, there's a little gap after the T is kind of natto.
Yeah.
Natto. But we're going to call it natto, right?
Yeah.
Because we're American. So.
I mean, we should talk about the smell, right?
Yeah, the smell. I don't know. I find it hard to describe the smell.
I saw so many different descriptions, but maybe the most common one I saw was like smelly aged cheese.
I saw references to aged cheese too, and that doesn't connect for me. I love cheese, any kind of cheese.
But do you eat a lot of like old brie, like certain types of cheese. Like cheddar's not going to smell like that.
I guess I could see the comparison between natto and brie, maybe. Like it's a little closer, sure.
Other less kind people say like old used socks or mop water.
So, Paul, let me ask you, because I said, you know, I've acquired the taste for natto. I eat a lot of natto. I got natto in the fridge right now. How many times have you encountered natto?
Once.
Tell me about it.
I mean, it was my first trip to Japan, and it's been so long that I don't remember super well. But I remember not liking it, but not hating it. It's not like imprinted on my mind like the anchovy is.
Where did you come across natto on your first trip to Japan?
I think I went and bought some on purpose at a convenience store.
Because you'd heard about it?
Because I knew natto and I wanted to like see it.
Oh.
And then I was like,
Cool. Well, you have had it another time because I fed it to you once.
Oh, yeah? I don't even remember. When was that?
I was living in Egan, so it must have been, it might have been right around when we started this podcast, probably.
I was living with you at the time?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember you not enjoying it.
Yeah. I haven't acquired the taste yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there. We have some tips on how to do that if you're interested in acquiring the taste.
How would you describe the taste, or should we wait on that?
I think we should wait. Okay. I think we should wait.
Okay.
Or do you have like ways that other people describe the taste? Because I don't, I'll say this, this is weird. I feel like since I started eating natto, my perception of the taste has changed a whole lot. And I mean, you know, since I said I acquired the taste, it makes sense that I would enjoy it more now. But it's also like it tastes completely different. Like it's not just that it tastes better, it tastes different.
Sure. Like your first beer compared to your 1,000th beer.
Yeah.
It tastes very different.
That's a good comparison, I think. I guess.
So descriptions, slightly bitter, earthy flavor.
I think earthy is fair, yeah.
But the flavor's not super powerful.
It's not.
So you add things to natto generally to add flavor to it to try to get to that umami flavor that you're looking for.
Yeah. I think similarly to tofu, it can be a really good vehicle for a lot of other flavors, you know?
Yeah. Good old soy.
Yeah,
just totally. A great base, yep, right?
For sure. Paul, you ready for the history of natto?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So from what I saw, no one knows for sure who was the very first person to make natto.
Correct.
It's possible that it popped up in multiple places around the same time, because it's very simple to make.
Yeah.
But there are some pretty fun legends about the origins of natto.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a peek at those.
Okay. Should we each take one? Because I have two of them. Is that what you found too?
Same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pick which one you want, and I'll do the other.
I'll do the one about Minamoto no Yoshie.
Okay.
Okay. So this legend says that the troops of the samurai Minamoto no Yoshie were the first to discover natto somewhere around the 11th century. They were boiling soybeans to feed them to their horses when they were suddenly attacked. So they had to pack up the beans real quick, and they had these straw bags that they used to do that. And then, you know, they were fighting, they got distracted, they kind of forgot about the beans. A few days later, they checked on the beans, and they had this sticky film on them. And they must have been pretty hungry, I would think, because they decided, you know what, let's eat these things. Probably not what I would decide to do, but sure. So they ate them, they liked them, and then they went to their leader, Yoshie, fed them to him, and he liked them too. So they're like, all right, we just invented a food. This is great. Let's turn this into a national delicacy. That seems pretty unlikely to me, that story, just because the idea of all these people loving natto the first time they tried it, pretty far-fetched, I think.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. That's a little oversimplification there.
I don't know. I'm just joking. You know, that's how foods work. You try them, and it's like, oh, this didn't kill me.
Yeah. So the other legend goes even further back and involves a prince. So somewhere in the 6th century or so, Prince Shotoku is said to have wrapped up leftover cooked soybeans in a straw bag for his horse. And after a while, some human happened to try them and found them delicious, just like the other story. So it soon gained popularity and spread across Japan. Probably neither of these stories is true, but you can see how it could so easily be invented or discovered, maybe in multiple different spots, because the bacteria that creates natto is naturally occurring in straw. So anytime you put cooked soybeans on straw and leave it, you're going to have something resembling natto. So not that hard to discover.
Yeah, pretty cool. I just love fermentation. I know I've said that before in those other episodes about fermented foods, but it's just so cool how it like just happens so naturally and is so good for us and stuff, you know? All those good bacteria.
Yeah.
Anyway, from that story, Paul, did Prince Shotoku ring a bell at all?
Not immediately.
He was the guy that founded Shitenoji in Osaka.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's about that time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's enshrined there in a statue of Kanon.
Oh, that big one?
The one in the main hall, I believe.
Okay, yeah. That's awesome.
So I have another, perhaps more realistic theory about the origins of natto.
Let me guess. Yeah. It came from China.
Probably. Most likely.
Well, soybeans did, so.
Yeah. And China was doing a lot of stuff with those soybeans, so it makes sense they would have come up with something similar to natto.
Yeah.
They had a food called douchi. I have no idea how close that is to the pronunciation. I'm not good at Chinese pronunciation, but this food goes back to at least a couple centuries BC and then made its way to Japan in the Yayoi period around 2,000 years ago, give or take a few centuries. But the thing about douchi is that it was made with salt, which is going to give you a pretty different product because salt has a negative effect on the growth of the bacteria that makes natto. But when this douchi stuff got popular in Japan, salt was really expensive at the time. So you can imagine maybe somebody trying to make this douchi stuff and they're like, well, we don't have any salt, so we'll just try making it without salt. And then maybe they ended up with something like natto, you know? Maybe that's how it happened.
Yep.
So for most of its history, natto was fermented in straw, as we mentioned. But things changed in the Taisho period, right, Paul?
Yeah. So we're talking early 1900s now. Researchers discovered a way to produce the natto starter without the need for straw. So it made it possible for large-scale commercial production of natto to begin.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Side note, when I've been kind of experimenting with dictation on my computer.
Like text or speech to text?
Yeah, yeah. Like I was thinking maybe I can speed up writing my notes by just saying what I want to say and it'll write it down. You know? And it's really frustrating when you're using all these Japanese words because my computer has no idea what natto is. It kept trying to... It thought I was saying NATO. Like
NATO. Or I thought I was going to say not a toe.
Not a toe. It gave me Naruto. That was
pretty funny. Hey, well, at least that's Japanese. It's not the right direction.
Getting closer. Yeah. You should be able to tell it. Like, just so you know, there might be some words in here from another language, so keep an ear out for that. Anyway. We done with history?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the production method. How is natto made?
Sure.
So, as I mentioned earlier, soy sauce, miso, those are also fermented soybeans, but natto is different because the fermentation happens differently. So with soy sauce and miso, for those, you're mashing up soybeans and you're mixing them with koji mold, yeast, salt, and a bacteria called lactobacillus. But natto isn't using any of that stuff. There's no salt, and the bacteria that is used for the fermentation is called Bacillus subtilis. And there's like a subvariant of this specific natto type, right?
Yeah, it's really called like variant natto.
Yeah. So I know I already nerded out about fermentation. But another really cool thing about it is just that it means so many different things. Like when you're talking about fermentation, all that means is that some substance is being broken down by bacteria, yeast, or other microorganisms to turn it into a different form. But like there's so many different types of bacteria and yeasts and microorganisms. I just think it's cool. That's cool, right?
Sure.
Am I too enthusiastic about fermentation?
So I think the idea is cool, but the minute details make my mind fuzz.
Okay. Well, then let's get to the actual practical process here.
Yeah.
You're going to start with soybeans.
I like beans.
And there are a lot of different varietals of soybeans, right? Different sizes. They're going to have slightly different flavors, perhaps. But the beans used for natto, what's up, Paul?
I'm just struggling with English right now. Varietals?
Yeah.
What's the difference between that word and varieties?
I guess when I've seen the word varietals used, it's usually referring to a type of plant.
Oh.
Varietals would be like different genetic kind of branches off of the main species. Or, okay. I don't know, varietals are like I don't want to say subspecies because I think that's another specific thing in science.
Sure.
But like varietals would be, like if you're talking about cherry blossoms, right? We talked about all the different varietals of cherry blossom trees that have different numbers of petals and slightly different colors and that kind of stuff.
Okay. I think I'm wrapping my head around that. It's different. Like varieties are like, there's three different flavors of this candy. But varietals would be like this branched into other different types of plants.
Okay, I Googled varietal just so we can get a clear dictionary definition here. Number one is of a wine or grape made from or belonging to a single specified variety of grape. But then number two says in botany or zoology relating to or forming a variety. I don't know. Maybe I'm using it wrong.
Well, it does seem to be specifically for plants there and classification
botany,
of plants and animals. Know. Okay. Fair enough. I learned something. Thank you. Anyways, what were you saying before
well,
I totally
now I'm just questioning every
you?
Word that I'm using. I don't know.
Welcome to my life. Every once in a while, English just stops making sense in my brain.
English is a weird language. But I guess what gives me a little bit of confidence is knowing that people make up words all the time. I'm reading the book Infinite Jest. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Well, anyway, that book is full of made-up words.
Okay.
And it's like a super famous novel. I don't know.
And language is even better because if a made-up word gets said enough times, it becomes a real word.
Yeah, yeah. I follow some great Instagram accounts that talk about etymology and like the way that language is currently evolving. Super interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I think you'd like it.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to move away from varietals. There are a lot of different kinds of soybeans. The beans used for natto are usually on the smaller end of the spectrum, between 5 to 6 millimeters in diameter. And the reason for that is because smaller beans makes it easier for the fermenting bacteria to reach all the way to the center of the bean.
Yep.
Makes perfect sense. But you can also find natto made with bigger beans.
Yes.
Okay, so what are you going to do with the beans, Paul?
You have to wash them and soak them in water first. Soaking for 12 to 20 hours-ish, which is what you always have to do when you cook dry beans.
Got to let them soak up some moisture, right?
Yep. And after that, they get steamed, which I found really interesting. Not boiled, steamed. For about 6 hours or so.
Hmm.
Steaming them helps keep the skin intact, which I found really interesting because I have cooked raw beans before, and I do find that a lot of them kind of start falling apart.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So now you've got cooked beans. It's time to ferment them, right?
I guess so. And to do that, you're going to mix those cooked soybeans with that bacteria, Bacillus subtilis, also known as natokine, and that's going to do the fermenting. I don't know. I kind of like that name, Bacillus subtilis.
I do, too. When I was doing the research, I was like, that's kind of cool.
It reminds me of Amelia Bedelia. Fun little rhyming scheme.
Where's that from?
You've never heard of Amelia Bedelia?
No.
It was a book. Maybe there are multiple books. Children's books.
Oh,
they're okay. Silly books.
Okay.
About a woman with a silly name.
Okay.
Anyway, so how long is this fermentation going to take?
It takes about 24 hours at about 40 degrees Celsius.
That's 104 degrees Fahrenheit.
Thank you. I knew you were going to pop in with that.
You're welcome.
Every time I throw out a number in, imperial or metric, you always have a conversion ready for me.
You know, I try to keep the podcast as universal as possible.
I appreciate that. We do have listeners from all over the world.
We do.
And after that day or so of fermentation, the natto is cooled and then aged in a refrigerator for up to 1 week to allow the full development of the stringiness.
That's where you get the slime.
Yeah, got to get nice and slimy.
And that's it. So it's like a super easy process. You could even do it at home. I mean, obviously, people were doing it at home for centuries with that rice straw, right?
A lot of people still do. And if I like it enough tonight, I might consider doing it at home myself.
I think that'd be fun. I think we should do an episode of Cooking with PB&J where we make some natto for our patrons.
Ooh, that would be an intense episode because that would take us a couple days.
Yeah, we can do a time lapse.
Yeah, yeah. The most difficult thing about that is you have to be really, really careful not to contaminate it with any other sort of bacteria.
Yeah.
So you've got to completely sanitize everything that you're going to use in the process.
Yeah, and these days you don't need that rice straw to provide a hospitable place for the bacteria. You can just use a glass bowl and plastic wrap, normal kitchen stuff. The only thing is you got to get your hands on, well, soybeans, but also the bacteria starter. And I hear that that's not hard to find, like at Asian markets, it seems like.
Or that's I read too.
You can probably get it on Amazon, I would guess.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be a fun project. We should do that.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the many varietals of natto? Wait a minute. I don't think
I don't know if that's right anymore.
I'm just joking. Types of natto. There are a lot of different types of natto out there, but they generally fit into three main categories based on the size of the beans. The most common type you're going to see is what we'll call normal size natto. About half of the natto you see in stores is in this category. Another category is otsubu natto. These types are made of big ol' soybeans. I mean, they're giant soybeans. So what I saw is that the taste is going to be a bit more intense as well.
And I saw the larger beans leads to it being less sticky.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Maybe something to do with less surface area per mass on the larger size?
Okay, yeah. I was almost going the other way. I was thinking like more surface area per bean, but total surface area is probably more important. You got more space for that slime to develop, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then hikiwari natto. This is my personal favorite, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got about hikiwari?
So this is made using crushed soybeans. I heard that it's good for cooking because, you know, the crushed you can kind of blend in better with something.
Yeah, I guess the verb I saw instead of crushed is cracked. I think they actually crack the soybeans before they soak them in water even. Because if you look at this stuff, it's not like it's not mashed or anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's still like very hard angles on there, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, it does.
Like it looks like if you just chopped up a bunch of soybeans, it's like little chunks of soybean. I think the taste of this is a little milder, and I enjoy the texture a bit more, too. I don't know. I like the texture. I like the little pieces. It just does it for me.
The thing
is, it's really hard to find around here. Like, I've only seen it once in the store, and I bought it, and I'm like, I really like this. And it's literally been on my grocery list for, like, the last year. When I go to Asian stores, I always look for it, and it's never there.
Hmm. It's too bad.
Yeah. So I actually saw this might help explain that. Supposedly in Japan, this makes up only 7 to 8% of the natto market.
Wow.
The hikiwari natto. but it's very popular in specific parts of the Tohoku region. So maybe I need to go back there, look for it in stores there.
Okay. I did hear the northern Japanese really like their natto.
Cool.
There were a couple varieties developed more recently for those that don't like the smell and texture of regular natto. There's a fried natto and a dried natto that make it a little bit easier for some people to stomach, but I don't think they're very common.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And besides those, of course, there are tons of different brands out there of natto. You know, they might taste slightly different, and they're going to have different types of sauces in there. And we'll get to that pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, Paul, my next section in my notes here is called How to Enjoy Natto. But I think maybe a better question is, are you going to enjoy natto, if you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to try to enjoy natto.
So, maybe you already kind of hinted at this, but at what time of day are you most likely to eat this natto? How do you incorporate this into a meal?
It's often eaten as a breakfast food, especially over rice, known as natto gohan. Natto rice.
You could also see natto as a side dish at another time of day with another meal.
Absolutely. But yeah,
very popular for breakfast. You'll also sometimes see natto sushi. Have you ever seen that, Paul?
I don't think I have in person.
Me either.
I recall.
Seen pictures, though.
Yes.
They're out there.
Yep.
Natto can be added to miso soup. What do you think, Paul? Are you going to try the natto on your rice or just toss it into the soup?
I'm going to try rice first. Like, I already like the tofu and the seaweed in my soup. I think there's enough in there already.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe it'll help make up for the missing dashi, though, you know? Add a little umami or something.
Maybe. the most interesting one maybe I saw is people pairing natto with noodles.
What kind of noodles?
Spaghetti seems to be the most popular one I saw.
With what kind of sauce? Or is it just spaghetti noodles with natto and that's it?
I think that's it, but I'm not sure. It'd be weird with like a tomato sauce.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That'd be really weird.
Yeah.
But I guess I can imagine it with just plain noodles. It's kind of a neutral thing like rice, you know?
But you put your seasonings on the natto maybe, and that kind of gives it a little bit of sauciness.
Sure. Yeah, the noodles are just adding to the calorie count, making it more of a substantial meal or snack or whatever. That's cool. I saw tamagoyaki. You could put natto in that. That's like a Japanese-style omelet. I actually have a takoyaki pan. I make that fairly regularly. Never tried natto in there.
I think you just said takoyaki pan.
Oh, sorry. I don't have a takoyaki pan. Tamagoyaki was the word I was going for there. We're talking about another yaki, too. Okonomiyaki could incorporate natto.
Okonomiyaki could incorporate anything, seemingly,
true.
So that makes sense.
That's true. I even saw a mention of natto tempura.
Oh.
I would be very interested to try that.
I mean, anything fried is good, right?
Yeah. I'm curious how much of the natto flavor comes through once you fry it like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, natto can be an ingredient in a lot of things. I know, Paul, before we started recording, you mentioned another interesting one that we both came across.
Yeah, the kids these days seem to be eating natto toast.
Is it a kid thing? Is it a recent thing?
Younger generations is what I heard seem to be enjoying this. You take a slice of white bread, you put your natto into the center, spread some mayo on it, and then you top it with cheese, shredded cheese, and toast it for a few minutes. And boom, you got yourself breakfast.
I'm going to try that. That sounds decent. Okay, so we've talked about like what kind of meal you might want to enjoy natto in, but I wanted to really get to the details on what you're going to do with the package of natto, because it's not like ready to eat when you get the package, right? You've handled like a package of natto, right?
Yeah. So maybe I'm being too semantic here. But it's ready to eat in that you could eat it.
You could. I mean, it's not...
But it's not dressed up properly yet.
Yeah, you gotta spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, it needs to be seasoned.
Well, and you gotta whip it
Yeah, we'll, to get the stickiness to develop.
Okay, so let me describe a package of natto. It's going to come in a little styrofoam tray. There's going to be a styrofoam lid on top of this tray. When you buy them, they usually come in groups of three trays. Each serving is 40 to 50 grams. You're going to peel off that styrofoam lid. And inside, you're probably going to see a couple little sauce packets. You can grab those, toss them aside for the moment. And then underneath those, you'll see a thin little plastic sheet. And through the sheet, you'll see these legendary, disgusting little soybeans. When you lift the sheet, you're going to start to see those strings. The stringiness is apparent immediately when you lift that sheet. I mean, the whole business, just there's sticky strings flying everywhere, right?
Yep.
If you see somebody open a package of natto, maybe they have chopsticks, or maybe even they just grab the little film and they just start like swinging it around in the air. And you're like, what the heck are what are they doing? And it's because these strings get so incredibly thin. They're almost invisible. They're like spider silk, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to kind of, if you don't want it to get all over and get your hands all sticky and whatever, you gotta wind up those strings and make sure they're out of the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now, like I said, you're going to whip it. This is very important. You can't just skip this. To get the proper texture for that natto, you got to stir them up. So I mentioned the sauce packets. Those can contain various different types of sauces. There's karashi mustard, grated daikon radish. Most commonly, you'll get a little tare sauce, which is like a soy sauce-based sauce, and mustard. The tare and the mustard are the most common things. But there are all sorts of different things that different brands do and whatever. So, by the way, Paul, we should address, is natto vegan?
Natto itself is very commonly vegan, but that sauce packet it comes with is not vegan. So, therefore, I wouldn't buy the ones that include that sauce packet. I'm going to see if I can find some American-made natto, which usually doesn't come with those or comes with maybe different ones that are vegan.
Okay. Or you could just throw away the sauce and use something else. Use soy sauce or whatever, right?
But then I spent my money to support something that is not vegan. And I don't want to do that.
Like 30 cents each packet or each, not even the packet, each tray is like 30 cents. It's pennies you're talking about, but.
Yeah, but think about it like I don't buy packaged ramen beef flavor. Because sure. There's beef in the packet.
I understand. But yeah, the Japanese sauce packets, there's most likely going to be fish ingredients, so just be aware of that. Okay, so like I said, you're going to stir up the natto to get the real stringiness to come out. You're going to whip all that air in there. And I actually have seen some debate, Paul, as to whether you add the sauce before you stir the natto or after.
Mm.
I've tested both ways.
Okay.
I don't think it makes a huge difference. And if you want to be economical with your time, just throw the sauce in there and stir it up. But if you really want to just be sure that you're getting it in its best possible form, you're going to want to stir the natto itself without the sauce packet at least 50 times.
Oh, man.
I saw 50 to 150
oh, man.
Times. Then maybe you add the sauce. Then you stir it again for another 50 to 150 times. And believe me, the difference is going to be dramatic between when you first peeled off that thing, the little sheet, and what you now have after all this stirring. I mean, it's crazy. Am I going too far, Paul? Is this just not useful information? Do you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know. I do know what you're talking about. I've seen pictures of, you know, not stirred natto and stirred natto and very different.
They're very different.
Yeah.
Okay, so in addition to or instead of those included sauces, you can use all sorts of mixers or toppings. Can we talk about some of those, Paul?
And what are some of your favorites?
I got a bunch. I actually found a website that has this huge list of different things that you can try with your natto, and I've been going through each of them and testing them out.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's great.
What are your favorites so far?
I think my favorites are, I like spicy things these days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I really like wasabi or chili oil. I haven't yet tried actual hot sauces like Tabasco, I have a big collection of hot sauces, but I might need to start dipping into those. But yeah, spicy stuff is good. Green onions are also really popular. There are a lot of great fermented foods that go with natto. I feel like pretty much any fermented foods, you can kind of mix and match, and they all go pretty well together.
Except hamburger pickles.
Yeah, those are gross. but kimchi, Korean pickled cabbage type stuff, that's really good with natto. I'm a big fan of that. Umeboshi, I guess those aren't... Pickled. They're pickled.
That's pickled. Yeah.
Wait, did I just say pickled cabbage? I meant fermented.
Yeah.
I'm not even entirely sure what the difference is now.
Yeah, right. I'm mixing the two up now.
Well, yeah, kimchi is Korean fermented spicy cabbage. Umeboshi are pickled plums. We did a whole episode 117, about that. I saw that if you want some crunch, you want to add some other textures to your natto, you could try tempura bits, you know, little crumbs.
Sure.
Or potato chips. You can try adding fat to your natto with things like sesame oil, avocado, raw egg yolk, mayonnaise.
Oh, avocado sounds good.
Yeah, I want to try that. And of course, lots of traditional Japanese ingredients go great with natto, like sesame seeds or seaweed, or we already mentioned soy sauce. But yeah, I really feel like natto is great for experimentation. And we mentioned it's kind of a relatively neutral flavor. You can try out doing all sorts of stuff with it.
All right, now we know the myriad of ways we can consume natto.
Sorry, Paul, what was that? What word did you just?
Myriad.
Myriad?
Yeah.
Myriad?
No, myriad.
Okay. I'll leave that. No further comment.
Thank you. Let's talk about why we should eat natto, other than it being delicious, right?
Sure.
There's numerous health benefits. It's a very healthy food. It's very rich in essential vitamins, such as magnesium, zinc, iron, and potassium.
And copper, and manganese, and vitamin K, and vitamin C, and B vitamins. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Very good for healthy skin as well. The vitamins C and E are both very good for clear skin and anti-aging of the skin.
Okay. You said E and C?
Yes.
I also saw B6 mentioned in there. E and B6 boost cell turnover, which is supposed to slow down the aging of your skin.
Okay.
And vitamin K2 is supposed to help improve skin elasticity, make you look less wrinkly.
Oh, the K2 and the calcium also help with your bone health.
Okay.
Very important for us vegans. It's a little bit hard to get good sources of calcium. There's a few vegetables that have it, but you got to make sure you're eating enough of the right ones.
Yeah. Natto supposedly promotes heart health. It's got fiber, which can help reduce cholesterol levels. It also has an enzyme called natokinase. I think I'm pronouncing that right. That helps dissolve blood clots and can reduce blood pressure. Although I also saw if you're already taking blood thinning medication, you might want to talk to your doctor before introducing natto to your diet.
Oh.
You don't want to go too far in that direction, you know?
Okay.
Natto also has probiotics that can help your gut health. That's true of a lot of fermented things.
Yep.
And I don't know, I just wanted to mention, like, whenever we're talking about foods and their effects and stuff, like, there are studies that, you know...
It's not a hard science.
Yeah, there are studies that suggest that certain vitamins and whatever can do certain things in large quantities, but it's like, you know, there's no miracle food or whatever.
Yeah.
I also just had, like, the basic nutrition facts, like the macronutrients or whatever.
Sure.
So natto is 55% water, 13% carbs, 19% protein, and 11% fat.
Okay.
If you're interested in those numbers.
It's very high protein.
Yeah.
A relatively small serving of natto has a ton of protein in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of good stuff. Like, even given that caveat I just said, like, you can't really argue that natto is anything but really healthy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jason, time for a taste test.
Oh, yeah.
We've got our natto. It's all stirred up. We've got our sides to try it with. You put in the sauce packet. I put in just a little dollop of soy sauce to give it some salt.
So let me talk about the type of natto we're using here.
Sure.
This is from Hokkaido. I would call this normal size beans. And the sauce packets it came with is Yama Wasabi, which means mountain wasabi. So I mixed in the sauce packet. Paul, like you said, left it out because it's not vegan. Paul, first, should we just describe the smell now that's right in front of us?
Yeah. It's honestly not that bad. It is cheesy.
I can kind of get the cheesiness now that I'm like thinking that while I'm smelling it. Yeah.
I mean, it's smelly, but it's not like, it didn't like fill up the whole room with stank as soon as we opened it.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, you know, like I said, I've acquired the taste. Now when I smell natto, it's like, gets my saliva flowing. Like I'm excited to eat this.
I kind of am too.
So should we taste the natto on its own first?
Yeah. Let's try it.
All right. I love the wasabi sauce that this one comes with. And I feel like the, I mean, like we said, the beans are really pretty mild, at least to me.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I can taste the bitterness. You know, I'm not a fan of bitter. You know, I don't drink coffee or like dark beers, but it's not that bitter, but I can definitely taste a little bit of bitterness, but it does have an earthy beanie flavor, which you wouldn't be surprised.
Yep. Earthy beanie. Sure. I'll go with that. The bitterness, I don't really experience the bitterness, but I'm also a big fan of bitter foods. You know, I'll drink like the double IPAs and everything.
So. Oh, yeah, I can definitely taste it.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Should we try one of these toppings that we got? We have four. Should we just say what they are first?
Yeah.
So we got four toppings to try mixing in here. We got some potato chips, just plain classic Lay's. We also have a mashed umeboshi. That pickled plum. We got a little dollop of wasabi, and we got a little bit of chili oil. Should we save the spicy for the end so we don't ruin our palate?
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
I'm thinking we'll start with the chips. What do you think?
Okay.
All right. So honestly, more than anything, I think the chips just add some texture. I feel like the natto kind of overpowers the flavor. But again, these are just plain, just salt potato chips. If you wanted to try different chips, you might have a different experience.
I like it significantly better than the plain.
Really?
Yeah, the crunch is nice. The added saltiness I like. But also, it helps cut the bitterness for me. Makes it much more palatable. I actually kind of like it.
Hmm. I don't know. I think I just prefer plain natto to the natto and chips, personally. I don't feel like I need the additional crunch. It's not really doing a whole lot to augment the flavor, in my opinion. Are you going to finish your nacho just with the chips? Or
all right, move on. Umeboshi time, right?
Let's do the umeboshi. That's interesting. It's giving me kind of a sweet and sour sort of thing. A
little bit. I mean, the umeboshi overpowers the flavor of the natto, for sure.
It's a pretty strong flavor, yeah.
Yeah. Again, I like it better than the plain because it cuts that bitterness for me.
Okay. I'm not huge on the fruitiness of the umeboshi with the natto.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the best combo. It kind of works, though.
I could see it maybe being better with a bowl of rice, because then you have the rice to spread the umeboshi flavor across, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not quite as overpowering.
Yeah, that might be good.
Ready to try the wasabi?
Yeah.
I'll add a little more wasabi to my already wasabi-flavored natto.
Yeah, I've got no spice on mine, so this might help.
I really like that. I'm a huge fan of wasabi anyway, and I think the earthiness of the wasabi complements the earthiness of the natto really well. I just feel like they're a really great combination.
Yeah, the spiciness is nice. I like it. All right, well, lastly, we got the chili oil.
Let's compare the spiciness of the wasabi with the spiciness of the oil. I may be biased because of my fondness for spicy foods, but I think the chili oil and the wasabi are clear winners in my mind.
Yeah. I like the chili oil. It's different because it's more of like a building heat than the wasabi that's a right-in-your-face heat. It also adds a little bit of fattiness.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
I like that, too. I'm going to go with wasabi, though, as the number one. I think the earthiness, I don't know, they just complement each other really well. The chili oil feels like it's coming from a slightly different world, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I hate to say I'm going to also go with wasabi first, but where I differ is I'm going to go with the crushed chips number two.
Okay.
The chili oil number 3 and the umeboshi last. But now I'm going to mix everything together and eat the rest of my natto.
All right, let's take a second. We'll check back in once we've shoveled this all into our faces.
All right, we've cleaned our plates. I got to say, combining all the flavors, I don't know if it was my favorite, but man, it got flavorful with all that stuff in there. And I liked it. It's official. If I can find a good source of vegan natto, I'm adding it to my Japanese meals.
That's awesome. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Any of the toppings cut the bitterness. Alone, it's borderline. But with mixed with anything, I like it. And I think the more I eat it, the more I'm going to like it.
That's awesome. I wasn't really watching you. I was too busy shoveling it into my face. But
I noticed.
Were you... I found myself waving the chopsticks around a ton to get the strings under control, you know? Were you doing that?
Not a ton. I was just straight into the face.
The slime really kind of coats your lips when you're eating it, you know?
I do kind of want to go wash my face right now.
you got the strings all over, like, in your hair and stuff? It feels like you just walked through a cobweb or something?
I only feel it on my lips, but I haven't touched my face, so I don't know.
Cool. Well, if our listeners are interested in trying natto, we should probably talk about where you can obtain some. Let's start with, if you're in Japan, where are you going to find it?
Gonbini, grocery store, some restaurants too. Maybe more likely in a traditional food restaurant.
That would make sense. I even saw that sometimes 100 yen stores like Daiso might be selling natto.
Okay.
Don Quixote even.
Well, they sell everything, right?
True. And I don't remember if I mentioned... Well, I think I mentioned that it's super cheap. So 100 yen for a 3-pack. You know, you're getting 3 servings,
wow,
3 trays for 100 yen. That's
crazy.
That's pretty cheap. Yeah.
100 yen's like 5 cents now, right?
The exchange rate is crazy, man. Yeah. I'm starting to feel bad that I exchanged my dollars for yen so early before our trip.
Yeah.
So outside of Japan, natto is super common in Asian markets. If they sell any kinds of Japanese food, they'll probably have some natto. You'll want to look in the freezer section usually. That's the only place I've ever seen it, but I heard that they might be in the refrigerated section too. I always just stick it in the freezer and then take it out of the freezer like a day before I plan to eat it to let it thaw.
Yeah, that seems to be the best way.
Yep. I was also surprised to see that on Amazon, Paul, you can order freeze-dried natto.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's like.
You just add water to these little freeze-dried beans. You let it soak in the fridge for just a few hours, and then you got natto. Kind of want to order some and like see how it compares, see if the texture is the same. I would think it would end up maybe more mushy, you know, being freeze-dried.
Yeah, I'd have to try. That's all I got for natto. You got
that's
anything?
It for me, too. Maybe I'll post some natto stuff on Instagram. I'll take pictures of the natto that I'll be eating in the next week or something. So you can check us out there. We're SJP Podcast on Instagram. I should also mention our Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes or on our website, sightseeingjapanpodcast.com. We just started selling itineraries on there. So if you're going to Japan soon, be sure to check those out. You don't even need to be a member on Patreon to buy them. But we would appreciate it if you did become a member. Speaking of which, a huge thank you to all of our patrons, especially our Shogun-level patrons, Wesley C., Nicholas McKibben, Kevin Harris, Brady K., Jack, Michael Morris, David Imani, Jennifer Crutchfield, Darwin Perrier, Ethan Teague, Yasmin, Sonny Schultz, Jason, Katarina and Ellery, Susan and Victoria. We are a listener-supported podcast, and it's you guys that keep us going, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
And for anyone else, if you don't want to make monthly contributions to the podcast, but you still want to show your support, if you feel you've gotten value out of the podcast, if we helped you with the trip, perhaps, you could make a one-time donation via the Support Us page on our website, or you could leave us a review on your preferred podcasting platform. Every bit counts, and we appreciate it. Well, Paul, I don't remember what's going on next time. What are we talking about? What do I have to research next?
We're trying something new for the next episode. we are going to be giving our personal ratings for some of Japan's top attractions. Do they live up to the hype?
That's a good question. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
Can you throw out a few? Like, I haven't thought much about which attractions we've both been to that are also really popular that we can talk about. What do you got?
Asakusa.
Okay.
Kiyomizu.
Sure.
Fushimi Inari. Mount Fuji, perhaps? But there's a whole bunch of different ways you can enjoy that, so that might be trickier.
Yeah.
Shibuya Crossing.
Yeah.
We haven't really decided exactly. There's a lot of ways we could go with it.
Yeah.
But there's also quite a few places we've both been to.
Yeah, and we started discussing kind of a rating system. You know, we're going to talk about different aspects, like, is it worth the money? Is it convenient to get there? Is it worth the trip, you know? How's the wow factor? Like, is it really going to impress you when you show up, or are you going to leave and be like, well, okay, that was fine, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.